contemplating, meditating. Should've waited, should've never dated. You seem irritated, baby. Why you never say it? Isn't this worth saving? I can feel you fading off. We're not gonna make it long. Guess you cannot take it. Guess it's worth saying. It's none of your concern anymore. None of your concern. Is it even worth it at all? Is it even worth it? Is it gonna work anymore? Is it gonna work? Am I being hurt anymore? Am I being hurt?
Part 4. Just as Christmas was about to kick in full force with carols and tinsel, and the endless noise of other people's joy that he was an outsider to, he came across a sticker in the men's room at the college. He was about to deliver his workshop, which he almost looked forward to, because that and the stage were the only breaks he got. The rest of the time he had to deal with himself, so he yearned to be Gyu each night. But as he was washing his hands, he saw the faded sticker in the mirror. Open 24/7, confidential. He stopped, stared. He should speak to someone, Taehyung had said. God, why would he speak to anyone? What good would that do? But he took a picture of the sticker anyway, because Taehyung had said so. Christmas bells echoed in his head. How Namjoon wanted nothing to do with him anymore. How everything he touched just turned to shit, and how Sun-hoon had seen early on what others hadn't. The bells echoed on the subway to the theatre that afternoon, and he thought of the helpline. What the hell would he even talk about? Maybe the non-stop negative monologue in your head, dipshit? His brain provided helpfully. Would it go back to his parents? That they'd never loved him enough? They loved him a ridiculous amount, so it had to be something else. He sat on it for 2 days, finding himself on Namjoon's Instagram far too often, but never liking anything or commenting on anything. The photo of the tech equipment in the studio, the gut-wrenching picture of Namjoon with a damn cup of coffee, like Namjoon had invented that genre of photography. He didn't know what to say. Namjoon clearly mourned him none. It was Saturday morning, 4 a.m, when he was unable to sleep, that he decided he couldn't be so pathetic as to be scared of a confidential, anonymous helpline. There were zero consequences from calling. He could hang up whenever. He could wipe the call from his call log. He could lie to distort details so that no one could connect the call to his personal circumstances. Courage came before confidence, he had read somewhere. So he sat up in bed, sighing, angry with himself, and called. A message played, informing he had called the college's mental health helpline. All calls were confidential and were not being recorded. After this, a deep male voice picked up with,
"Hello, you're speaking to Sung-soo. How can I help?"
His mind drew an instant blank before he spluttered out, Good thing about the not being recorded part. God, he was stupid. These helplines were meant for stressed undergraduates struggling with exams and first loves, people with real depression, real issues. They were not meant for casual teaching staff who got promiscuous when drunk. He was wasting everyone's time.
I've never called before, he then just said, dumbly.
Well, no one has until they do, right?
The man said, clearly trying to be encouraging.
I guess not. I shouldn't have called. Sorry.
Hey, we're here to listen. About anything at all, you know? Is there something in particular on your mind?
It was such an open-ended question. God, what wasn't on his mind? Where did you even start? I can't sleep, he said, quietly. He hadn't seen his friends in days, and he knew they were getting worried, were probably going to ambush him at the theatre or his home any day now, and he couldn't stand the thought. He just caused trouble. He just caused people to worry. He was a burden, that was it. He was a burden, and it'd be easier for everyone if he just went away. He was... I guess I'm sort of in a bad place right now, mentally.
Okay, we can start there if you'd like to tell me more.
This is gonna sound stupid. They spoke for 2 hours. Truthfully, it wasn't about Sun-hun or Nam-jun. It was that at some point in his life, he had convinced himself he was a worthless failure, when nothing really indicated this to be the case. He was working as an actor in the big city. He was renting his own place. He was starring in a play. Hell, that looked great on paper. Tell that to a 15-year-old Seokjin and he'd be over the moon. So why couldn't he see his own accomplishments as just that? Why did he think nothing he ever did was good enough? Why was he so hard on himself? But he was learning a lot, too. Like, being vulnerable didn't equal weakness, and that there were coping mechanisms he could use to stop berating himself all the time. His mind was tricking him constantly into thinking the worst about himself, and he'd been losing the battle for who knew how long. He needed to recognize the unfounded negative feedback and refute it.
And that's not easy to do,
Sung-soo said. And then there was the question of relationships and how he had decided that, alongside his other shortcomings, he was also worthless as an object of and participant in love, and that there was absolutely nothing he could give or offer. He had learned that when Sun-hun left him. So they talked about that, too, and at length. And in a way he never had talked with anyone. He tried to be honest. He tried to be forthright. And as Sung-soo prompted him with occasional questions, Seokjin came up with answers that had never crossed his mind before. Like how he'd been on the back foot when it came to Sun-hun, the other older local, with Seokjin as the newbie kid from Gwacheon, happy to do whatever Sun-hun had wanted, and that the relationship had never balanced itself out as time went on. That was on both of them. Sun-hun probably had a whole list of his own issues to sort out. Shit, Seokjin knew well that Sun-hun did. So why did Seokjin think the failure was down to him? Because apparently he wasn't a pathetic, fucked up, unlovable failure just because he'd loved someone who had, in the end, stopped loving him back.
There is no way of guaranteeing that any relationship will work out,
Sung-soo said. A very wise man.
Every single relationship fails until one doesn't, right? And the one that doesn't fail, when and if it comes, will be thanks to a lot of hard work.
Nam-jun had said something similar, that you had to work on the hard parts. You couldn't just run away. But even so, Seokjin had never gotten over the hurt. He let no one close. Nam-jun had come closest, and it had nearly broken him.
You can't choose never to try again, of course, but most people try, even if they're scared.
Because they're naive, or optimistic, or because no man is an island. He thought of Nam-jun's warm, bright eyes, the way he wrinkled his nose sometimes when he smiled really wide, dimples appearing. Sung-soo laughed at the other end of the line.
Because it's love. It's the greatest and most absurd thing human beings have ever come up with. But the foundation of any relationship is to love yourself first.
Houston, we have a problem, he retorted, pressing into his pillows with a groan. Sung-soo hummed in agreement.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Loving others is easy, no problem there. Nope, the hardest part before you let someone else in is to love yourself. And once you do, when you have a good relationship with yourself, then the termination of any relationship won't hit you as bad, because you've still got you.
Seokjin had a lot to work on, even more than he'd thought. So how do I love myself when I have so many flaws?
Loving yourself isn't about trying to be perfect. No, who's perfect? No one. It's about working on yourself to be the best you that you can be. Being aware of strengths, of weaknesses, of being proud of what you can do. Embracing that. That's loving yourself.
Seokjin let out a deep breath. Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Yeah, oppa, you single?
Married, with 2 children. But I get asked a lot.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. In the end, he showed up at Jimin and Taehyung's willingly, before the two broke down his door. He arrived with containers of food he'd prepared, as a semi-apology for making people worry, marching in with a casual flair and telling them to call Jungkook because he'd made food for everyone. The four of them sat in the living room, and there was very much an elephant bouncing in the middle that was not being acknowledged, even as they talked about other things. Eventually, as the conversation died, Seokjin said, So sometimes when I say I'm fine, I'm actually kind of not, but I'm doing better, I promise. They'd put their plates down on the floor. Seokjin sat in the armchair with the others on the couch. He suddenly felt like he was being interviewed as the others regarded him. I've been talking to people. I'll keep talking. It helps. Jimin instantly said, And us, you can talk to us. Yeah, I know, he said with a smile, although he still knew that the darkest crooks of his mind were not something he necessarily wanted to inflict on someone as sweet as Jimin. He took in a deep breath, hoping to go for some kind of casualness, but then gave up. You guys seen Namjoon lately? At all? Briefly, Jimin said. He and Hoseok are going to Tokyo soon. He frowned a little, but nodded. He'd forgotten about that. Well, is he, how is he? His friends exchanged looks, which made him nervous. Jimin then shrugged. Working a lot, Yoongi says. You should talk to him, right? He knew that, deep down, but he'd also fucked up, and he wouldn't blame Namjoon in the slightest for wanting nothing to do with him anymore. The hesitance must have been obvious, because Taehyung encouraged, Look, you just gotta tell him you're sorry, and then grovel a little, say that you miss him and want to be with him, all of that. His face felt very hot. Who said I wanted to be with him? He was met with 3 unimpressed stares. Right. He'd been having a meltdown not too long ago over Namjoon and Yuna. Okay. So, he was invested, clearly. Jungkook had been right. He liked a boy. Understatement. He shifted in his seat. We never agreed what we were. I mean, sure, there was some stuff that made me wonder if, you know, maybe we were, but why can't cuddling and him reading books aloud to me in bed be casual too? I mean, it could easily be that. Although, Although he did say he was afraid I'd bolt if he brought up what was going on between us, which was not unjustified entirely. Yep, he was definitely being stared at with pity. The one thing he always feared. But this pity seemed a lot like disbelief and bemusement. What else did he say? Jimin asked. He swallowed, thinking back. That he hates it when I say we're not together, and that he's put his heart on the line, or something to that effect. Saying it aloud sounded worse than he thought. His friends clearly thought so too, and he buried his face in his hands. Oh, fuck. Fuck, I'm an idiot. How do I fix it? The three of them looked at each other uncertainly before Jungkook said, A big romantic gesture, I guess?
Yeah, something romantic, Jimin agreed. Oh, I know. Do a passionate monologue from a play or something.
Jungkook bobbed excitedly, taking to the idea.
Yeah, that's good. Or sing for him.
Ooh, that'd be nice, Jungkook agreed.
You've got a nice voice, Hyung. You should do that.
Namjoon doesn't need to be serenaded to, Taehyung said, shrugging these off. Just say that you want to date him, properly. No making out with strangers and all that. Full boyfriend mode.
I hate the B word, he complained.
He was nervous at the thought because of all the stuff from before. But he was also a different person now, and you had to work at relationships.
Yes, Sang-soo, he knew all of that.
And what if he doesn't want the boyfriend mode? Taehyung looked appalled.
You think that the man who apparently reads books for you in bed doesn't want a relationship with you? Seriously?
Right, he said, hands twisting.
Okay.
He cleared his throat.
I'll think about it. No, you go tell him, Jimin said.
I will, but not at this literal moment. All right? He stood up. Come on, let's clear up the dishes.
There was a book Sang-soo had recommended him, and so he browsed the self-help section in the bookstore with a hood over his head because it was embarrassing as it was. The book was about how to build a better relationship with yourself, and he skimmed the contents, seeing boxes with key points and questions to ask yourself. It looked useful.
Huh.
He'd been so caught up in his head that seeing the book prove that thousands of people were going through similar things surprised him. But it was comforting, too, in a way. On his way to the till, he passed the biography section and came to a stop. Politicians, musicians, and celebrities with their memoirs were on display, and he looked at the faces of famed people, unsure what he was looking for. He ended up in the U section. Uemura. Uemura Naomi. There was a biography of Uemura Naomi there, a translation from Japanese. The cover was of a middle-aged Japanese man with a big, toothy grin, giving a thumbs up and wrapped up in a fur-lined coat and hood. With weather-waned, tan skin, stood on an icy plain somewhere in the wilderness. The Splendor of Solitude, it was called.
Do you know who I think about a lot? Uemura Naomi,
Namjoon had told him, that very first night they met. He bought the biography alongside his own book, then went to a cafe and spent the hours before his performance reading the account of Uemura. It detailed his adventures, the trekking in the Amazons, his solo trip to the North Pole. An entire chapter was dedicated to Uemura climbing Denali in Alaska, where he disappeared, presumed dead.
Uemura had already climbed Denali in summer, the first person to ever do it alone, but he wanted to be the first to ascend the mountain in the winter too. He made it to the top. He never made it down. A few years later, someone else did it anyway. That was madness, he thought. But then he wondered what Uemura had thought, standing at the summit of the highest mountain in North America, middle of winter, alone. The first person to have ever done it. What that feeling had been like. Uemura taking in the view, blissfully unaware he would never make it down. It must have been a hell of a view. What a life, he thought. Greta, locked up in her Manhattan apartment, world-loathing, surrounded by art, seemed like a very small life all of a sudden. Both had loved being alone. But Uemura's solitude was joy, was a way to connect to the world. Greta's solitude had never been joyous. The biographer, whoever they had been, was clearly a little in love with Uemura. His disappearance may seem tragic to some, but a man of Uemura's caliber could not have died in a hospital inside four walls. Instead, he died where his heart longed to be, out in the wilderness, amongst the majestic marvels of planet Earth. And he himself was one. He closed the book, staring out of the window. He was running late. He needed to go into hair and makeup in 20 minutes, and the theatre wasn't close by. He was running late on a lot of things.
Do you know who I think about a lot?
Namjoon asked him.
Uemura Naomi.
Seokjin could see why. Seokjin got to the club a little before midnight. He hoped that wasn't too late, that he hadn't already missed everything. When he got there, Hoseok was on stage, with a crowd of perhaps 100 or so before him, jumping up and down, enthralled. The place was as full as it could get, and Hoseok's rap sounded sharp and on beat. Seokjin, tired from the evening's performance, stood at the back, craning his neck as he looked around. He recognized the song. It was one for the mixtape. Namjoon had played a rough version for him at some point. When it finished, Hoseok said, "This is the last time you'll hear these in free form. Tomorrow, we're heading to the studio and putting these down. Please look forward to it." And people cheered loudly. He wasn't sure Namjoon was actually there until Namjoon joined Hoseok on stage. And he stilled, stood in the back, stomach in knots, because he hadn't seen Namjoon in so long. And yet, there Namjoon was, tall and long-limbed, smooth-skinned, handsome as anything. He instantly ached and realized clearly what an amazing thing he had thrown away. There Namjoon was, without him. Namjoon had his own mic and kicked into a song with Hoseok. Seokjin stared, impressed as ever when Namjoon performed. Taken in by the stage persona that was cocky and self-assured, different from the Namjoon he knew, yet still the same. "A grand gesture," Jungkook had said.
"Just say you want to be with him,"
Taehyung insisted. Like it was that easy. It wasn't easy. The next song was just Namjoon, and Seokjin had never heard it before. The lyrics were fast, but Namjoon didn't miss a beat. Something about wanting to be a wave or a summer for someone, a new beginning. It sounded a little hurt, but hopeful too. Namjoon and Hoseok got off stage to applause and cheers. And then some other rapper was already on stage, a short woman who went into such a hard-hitting, fast-paced rap that people started whooping 10 seconds in. Seokjin hesitated, stood in the back, not sure where Namjoon had gone. But Namjoon was tall, and the light silver hair stood out. He and Hoseok were talking to a group of people at the bar. And so, Seokjin walked over, because if he didn't, he was just a stalker, and that was worse. They hadn't seen each other since the incident at the studio. Just a few text messages confirming Seokjin was an asshole, and that was all. Namjoon didn't want to see him. He had no reason to think Namjoon wanted to see him ever again. But Namjoon did see him. And then Hoseok followed Namjoon's gaze, smile fading. And the people they were talking to turned their heads to look at him. "Hi," he wanted to say, but it died in his throat. Namjoon was taking him in. And he just stood there, prepared for the rejection, for Namjoon to storm off. Hoseok snapped out of the surprise first and put on a big smile. "Hyung, where have you been hiding?" Hoseok pulled him into a big hug, and he tried to smile. "Aw, you didn't have to come. You're so good." Hoseok was patting his back. "I doubt it," he managed, eyes darting to Namjoon. Hoseok just beamed, forced as it was. Namjoon shifted his feet.
"There's a bar across the street. Usually quiet. I'll meet you there in a bit."
Okay, fine, he said, and he nodded a quick goodbye to the people he didn't know and headed out. Namjoon might not come, he thought, as he found the place. A small, sad, old man's bar, with only a few patrons. Namjoon might have already left the club through the back door, he realized, as he got himself a juice and sat by the table closest to the door. But Namjoon did come, some 10 minutes later. He had his brown winter coat on. Namjoon nodded at him, silently, then went to get himself a drink. The wait had been long enough to make Seokjin's skin crawl and his hands sweat. Fuck. He should have prepared a speech, maybe. Oh, a letter. He should have written a letter. But he had nothing. He had come all this way, and still, he had only himself to offer. He steadied himself as Namjoon sat down, the round table between them, the coat still on Namjoon, but unbuttoned. Namjoon had a shot of soju in front of him, something he could down in one go and storm off, or sip slowly, bit by bit, if he chose to. It was the perfect drink to leave Seokjin guessing. He stared at his own orange juice, and neither of them spoke. Finally, he asked, "So, what did Yoongi tell you?" Namjoon's fingers traced the rim of the shot glass slowly.
"How about I hear it from you?"
Fuck, you should have expected that. He steadied himself. "Well, after I was at the studio that day, and Yuna was there, after that whole thing, I went clubbing with Jungkook and got drunk. Like, pretty drunk. Then I made out with some guy and I would have slept with him, hadn't the guy stopped me. That's it."
"That's it."
He did small jazz hands nervously. "Ta-da!" Nothing funny about it. Neither of them smiled.
"I'm sorry."
And for a while, another silence stretched between them.
God, he'd fuck this up.
Namjoon stared at his drink, and then lifted it to his lips, and drank half of it, setting it back down again.
"I hate feeling like this,"
Namjoon then said, pushing a nervous hand through his hair.
I hate feeling jealous. God, it's so petty."
It didn't mean anything,
with thee. He could have been anyone.
Namjoon stared at the table, a joyless smile on his lips.
Don't you see how that almost makes it worse?
Yes, he saw that. He did. And he hated that he couldn't take it back. Namjoon sighed, restless.
Look, I don't care that you kissed some guy. Or, of course I care, but this isn't about who kissed who. That stuff is juvenile, it's for kids, it's not the point. No, the issue is that whenever we fight, do I need to be worried you'll go sleep with someone else? That's the issue.
But we never agreed on anything.
We both know this has been exclusive for a while now. Come on, you must know that.
Did he? If he was being honest, yes. He'd imagined at first how Namjoon had lovers for each finger. But the more that time had passed, the more they saw of each other, the more obvious it became that Namjoon had none of these imagined hookups in between the hours they spent apart.
I know we had no official agreement or whatever, and maybe I shouldn't have assumed so much. But if no assumptions were made, then it's damn unfair that you treat me like I'm Sun-hun, like I did what he did to you.
Seokjin swallowed, hating how he was constantly in the wrong, and Namjoon was some perfect, wholesome creation with no issues.
Then why didn't you tell me she was leaving?
He asked, hands twisting on the table.
Was it supposed to be a test? I mean, I failed. I clearly failed.
He shook his head.
Shit.
All you needed to do was tell me she was leaving.
I didn't think I should have to.
Namjoon returned slowly, calculatedly.
I mean, I thought you'd have understood after all of this that...
So you did,
he interrupted, glad to feel a little indignant and not just guilty. You tested me.
When... You knew how hard this was for me.
That is so shitty.
Namjoon
began, and then stopped. He was twirling the shot glass between his fingers.
I didn't mean to test you. It wasn't a conscious test, at least. I guess I just hoped you'd... I don't know. I needed to get something more from you.
He knew that now, after days of thinking and talking to people about it, seeing where his own denial and self-deception began. He knew that Namjoon had received very little from him. So he'd give. He'd give. Even though it terrified him.
I shouldn't have said we were nothing,
he admitted, trying to keep his voice level. Namjoon was looking at him. He felt vulnerable and hated every torturous second of it.
Well, buckle up, he told himself, because this is your life now.
With Namjoon, he would always feel this exposed.
We were something. To me. You have been something wonderful to me. And I'm sorry I never said it. And I'm sorry I fucked it up.
A shot glass of soju in between Namjoon's stilled fingers. Half full, half empty.
You're talking in the past tense.
Yeah,
he agreed. Grand romantic gesture. Beg him to be with you. All foolish enough ideas, in theory, on paper.
Come on, be brave. Have some goddamn courage. I'm working on my baggage. I am. It's not easy for me and it's gonna take time.
I just don't take well to love anymore.
Come on, be braver. And I'd like to try again. I'll try harder if you'll have me. If you'd like.
Come on, even braver.
The cliff and the edge and him hovering there, unwilling to step in.
Who knew if the step was safe when he'd falter?
He thought of Uemura Naomi on the summit of Denali. He inhaled and stepped off the cliff.
Funny thing is that it turns out I am really in love with you.
A shot glass, still unmoved. Blood soared in his ears, his stomach dropping like he was mid-roller coaster ride. He'd never do this again, he'd told himself. Yet, here he was. The glass moved to Namjoon's lips and was empty. Namjoon placed it onto the table, licking his lips. He hadn't said anything. Seokjin knew too what that meant. He knew before Namjoon even said anything. Namjoon hung his head a little.
Look, Hulsook and I fly to Tokyo in the morning, and it's gonna be an intense week, and I haven't even packed, so I can't really do this right now. When I come back, we can talk about this, but I can't do it now. I need a little more time still.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's... He wanted to throw up.
Sure, okay.
Namjoon stood up. Seokjin stayed seated.
But thank you,
Namjoon then said, after hovering for two beats. And then Namjoon looked down, looking a little flushed, but frowning.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
He just nodded. And Namjoon returned the nod, paused for another second. And then he walked out, buttoning up his coat as he did so. The door shut behind him. The bar still quiet, apart from an old man slurring his words at the bartender. Seokjin hadn't even touched his drink. Seokjin went running that night, which took up the hours between 1 and 3 a.m. He then slept, in fits, until 5. By 6, he was dressed and needed to get out of his apartment. He read his book on building a better relationship with himself in a coffee shop until 7, watching early birds getting drinks before heading to their offices. But truthfully, he stared at the same page, restarting it a dozen times. Once 7 had come, and it seemed mildly socially acceptable, he headed to Jimin and Taehyung's. Tae opened the door for him, sleepy and in his pajamas, still yawning.
Jinna.
Seokjin didn't object to being called that.
I told Namjoon that I loved him, and he said thank you, and went to Japan.
Taehyung blinked and instantly looked more awake.
Oh fuck. Can I come in?
He added, just as Taehyung pulled him into a hug.
The next hour was spent trying to figure out whose fault it was. Jimin said they never should have meddled, that they should all have waited for Namjoon to approach him first. It wasn't anyone's fault, however. Namjoon didn't feel the same, that was all. Just like Sun-hoon had not felt the same in the end. He just fell in love with men who didn't return his feelings. And that was fine. Absolutely fine. As he cried against Taehyung's shoulder because his heart had fucking broken. After he'd tried so hard never to let this happen. But no. His heart was broken. Jimin made them coffee and called Jungkook to come over. While Yoongi, who had spent the night there, was sat awkwardly on the living room armchair, looking distantly disgruntled and perhaps a little guilty. Seokjin had never cried in front of his friends, apart from the drunken ride back from the club. He often cried from laughter, sure, but that was not the same. And this time, he was sober, perfectly sober. And he didn't even try to pull himself together because he was the oldest, because he couldn't be weak, because of all those things. He let himself recount the tale, repeating.
So I said I was in love with him, and he just stood up and said, "Thank you, I mean, I am so pathetic. It was the most humiliating thing."
Namjoon really did that? Yoongi said. He sounded doubtful. But he nodded. Yes, Yoongi's shitty best friend had done exactly that. Not that it was Namjoon's fault. Seokjin had ruined it with all his bullshit. Who could blame Namjoon, really?
What's wrong with me?
He asked a lost-looking Taehyung. Why was he so bad at this? So, Seokjin's heartbreak had an audience. Full house soon, as they waited for Jungkook. No one had seen him like this last time with Sun-hoon, and that had gotten him nowhere. So fine. This time, he'd let himself cry and be pathetic in front of all the world. He'd do it all, no matter how humiliating. They had coffee, the crisis occupying the early morning. Jimin patted his hair. Taehyung handed him tissues, and he felt drained and done for. Eventually, the doorbell rang. Jungkook, ready to join the morning's pity party. Jimin went to answer the door, and after a beat, Yoongi stood up and followed. Seokjin kept sniffling, Taehyung gently rubbing his back. God, he needed to stop. Open up after years of bottling up your feelings, and then, apparently, all you were capable of was crying. Hushed, rapid conversation sounded in the hallway, mostly Jimin, and then Yoongi. An emergency meeting, he thought. He was ruining the day for everyone, especially when nothing could be done to fix this. Jimin finally returned, Jungkook-less and with tensed shoulders. Seokjin stayed curled up on the couch with Taehyung, his tear-soaked face buried to the crook of Tae's neck.
Tae, come to the kitchen.
What for?
Jimin fidgeted, annoyed.
Can you just... Hey, I told you to wait, didn't I?
Seokjin stilled. Namjoon had appeared in the doorway, in a leather jacket, black jeans, looking concerned. Hi, he said to Seokjin, whose heart clenched so painfully that he flinched. Taehyung's arm around him tightened. Seokjin didn't know what to do.
You're not in Japan,
he said. He was red-faced and tear-soaked.
God, why was... I am, or we're
The taxi's downstairs. Hobie is waiting.
Namjoon said, shifting his feet.
But Yoongi texted, and I gotta talk to you.
Yoongi had texted. Fuck, that was pathetic. Seokjin sobbing on Jimin's couch. Come tell him you can still be friends or some shit. But even so, the mere sight of Namjoon had something warm radiating in his chest. It was longing and hopeful and desperate and hurt. And he knew he needed to shut it all down, put it away, because Namjoon didn't want it. Taehyung refused to leave, and Namjoon stood in the doorway dolefully, not approaching. Seokjin gave Taehyung a gentle shove.
Because fine, let's get it over with then.
Taehyung stood up.
I'll be right outside, within earshot.
Taehyung glared at Namjoon.
Right outside.
Namjoon lifted up his hands in surrender, Taehyung skulking past him and glancing at Seokjin, who nodded to say he was okay. He wasn't. He sat straighter, feet now on the floor, feeling sick. Namjoon approached him, then stopped.
God, baby, I never want to see you crying over me. I'm a pretty crier, not all reddish and snotty like some,
he said. Snotty and reddish, and his voice was thin and humorless.
This was awful. This was even worse, with Namjoon stood across the room.
He shook his head quickly, fighting for words.
It's not up to you to make me feel better. I have to make me feel better. I get that now, when I have a solid relationship with myself, then a breakup won't break me.
What? What are you talking about?
It's from the book. It's advice. It's sensible, so you don't have to be worried about me. I'll be okay. I'll get over you and not clam up, but be fucking positive and optimistic about love. And
he stopped there because he couldn't physically make himself say another word. Namjoon was suddenly in front of him, kneeling, having clasped their hands together.
Seokjin, come on, please.
Namjoon pulled him into a hug, and Seokjin let himself fall into Namjoon, clutching back and hiding his face in the crook of Namjoon's neck, where the familiar scent of pine lingered. A sudden sob racked through him.
I said I needed time, not that we're over, Namjoon said, rubbing his back. This thing in Tokyo, God, this is all bad timing. I can't not go. I'm so sorry. I need to go do this. We can't reschedule. But when I'm back, we can sort this out. I'll come back to you, I promise. That's what I meant to say. What I should have said. God, I fucked up. I'm sorry. I didn't think you'd react like, baby, I'm sorry.
Told you, I'm weak. I told you.
He mumbled, unable to help how accusatory it sounded. But what the hell had made Namjoon think he could handle any of this?
I disagree,
Namjoon said, pulling back. Namjoon lifted their hands and pressed a kiss to his knuckles.
I think you are so strong. I mean, look, you haven't even hooked up with a random guy this time.
Seokjin let out an aborted laugh, because that was absurd. That was too painful to joke about. But Namjoon was giving him a sad, earnest smile, like he'd known that was a bad joke, but he was maybe a little desperate too.
Personal growth,
he muttered, no longer crying, but drained.
What did that mean?
Namjoon was wiping his tears away, gently, looking at him tenderly. "Will he take this?" he realized. If this was all he got. He'd take this. Namjoon, on his knees, just looking at him with gentle care. He'd take this. And he'd remember this. This was what he'd keep. That he'd once had something good. Even if it had failed. Even if it had broken him in ways that were beyond repair. He'd still gotten to hold something good for just a little while. And that'd be enough. That'd be enough for him. And as he was about to say all that, in whatever inadequate way he could, Namjoon said,
"Baby, don't get over me. I can't go to Tokyo with you crying here like this. Don't get over me. Please don't get over me."
Seokjin stared, unseeing, uncomprehending. But then he was nodding and nodding and nodding. Namjoon hugged him tight.
"I'm sorry, I am so bad at this, but I need you not to give up on us. I haven't given up on us, okay?"
It felt like a gasp of air after too long underwater.
"Okay,"
he agreed. He would have agreed to anything right then, as his heart kicked back into motion. Namjoon's fingers carted through his hair.
"Okay, good. Good."
The buzzer was sounding with restless beeps. Hosuk, the taxi.
"I gotta go. We're gonna miss our flight. I gotta go. I love you."
Lips pressed to his, fleeting, quick.
"Wait for me. Come on, please. Please tell me."
"Okay," he nodded, breaths shallow.
"I will. Okay. Did you just... Namjoon?"
Namjoon pressed their foreheads together, hand cupping the back of his neck.
"I did. Yeah, I owed you a confession, didn't I? I still owed you one."
Namjoon took in a steadying breath, and Seokjin felt his nerves.
"I worship the ground you walk on, Kim Seokjin, and I need you to know that. I'm sorry you didn't know that."
He absolutely had not known that. He reached out to Namjoon, but Namjoon stood up. But no, that... He wiped at his tear-stained face hastily.
I gotta go. I'll text you. I'll text you when we land."
Namjoon's voice broke a little.
"I'll see you soon, okay?"
And then he walked out in a hurry, like that was the only way he could manage it. And then the room was empty again, followed by the buzzer and the sound of the door closing, of Jimin and Yoongi talking in the kitchen in hushed tones. Seokjin sat on the couch, wondering if he had finally lost his mind, if Namjoon had ever even been there. Taehyung walked back in, tentative. The look on Tae's face, half serious, half pensive, assured Seokjin he hadn't imagined it. He stared, dumbfounded, at the spot where Namjoon had just been. He motioned at it weakly.
"I think he said he loves me."
"I heard," Taehyung said, hovering, then smiling.
"I think he might love you a lot."
"Oh." He reacted rationally, of course, by shaking his head as tears spilled onto his cheeks. Taehyung looked distressed, rejoined him on the couch, and scooped him up in his arms once more.
"Isn't that a good thing? Why are you crying? You make no sense."
But he just shook his head.
Oh, are we crying because it's good?" Taehyung asked,
and he nodded forcefully against Taehyung's shirt. Taehyung clicked his tongue.
"Okay, so we're crying when stuff is good and we're crying when stuff is bad. Got it."
Jimin and Yoongi walked in, gingerly, looking at them tangled up on the couch.
Well? Jimin asked nervously.
Yoongi said, Did he fix it like I told him to? Because I swear, I haven't sat 3 months of him sorting out his goddamn feelings for you just to have you two fuck-ups ruin it like this.
Seokjin laughed a little, bewildered. Jimin bounced on the balls of his feet.
Come on, what's the verdict?
Seokjin pulled back from the embrace, shrugging meekly as he wiped at his face.
Taehyung, encouraged, flashed a grin across the room.
Love.
Seokjin lived the next few days on hope and yearning alone. He ranged from outrageously happy to uncertain and panicky, but he tried to remain calm. He had to learn how to have a little bit of trust while Namjoon was putting in long days in a studio somewhere in Tokyo, and then there were drinks and cool Japanese rap clubs afterwards, followed by 4-5 hours of sleep before they went to the studio again. Seokjin knew this because they were staying in touch, mainly through text. No calls to the studio when recording was happening. So the conversation itself was on pause. They couldn't have that right then. They couldn't say difficult things like that. And so they sent updates.
At the studio. We're about to kick off for another session, so I'll text you later.
And, going to bed. Show went fine tonight. Enjoy recording. I miss you. And although there was no time difference, Namjoon was recording from late afternoon until early morning, usually going to bed just as Seokjin was waking up. Their replies were hours apart. Seokjin woke up day 5 out of 7 and had a message from Namjoon, sent 40 minutes prior.
Back at the hotel. Going to bed. God, I wish you were here. I miss you like crazy.
Morning, he replied. Wish I was there too. Or you here. I hate this. He was still staring at the screen when his phone buzzed with a video call. Namjoon. His heart skipped 2 beats before he swiped across the screen, revealing Namjoon. Silver hair a mess, lying on white hotel sheets in a plain white t-shirt. Namjoon looked tired, shirt wrinkled, hair sticking out. The most beautiful thing Seokjin had ever seen. Then he saw himself miniaturized in the corner of the screen, and he grumbled.
My face is all puffy. Don't look.
He tried to flatten his cheeks. Namjoon grinned.
It's a video call. How can I not look?
Even so, he complained, but gave up on trying to make himself look glamorous. No help there. Namjoon had already seen him at his worst, he figured. So he focused on Namjoon on his screen, on the soft eyes and full lips and thin nose. His stomach flipped.
God, hi. Wow, you're pretty.
Namjoon smirked.
You're one to talk. You just woke up, really?
Yeah, I mean, I have sleep in my eyes, he admitted, trying to rub it away. It's definitely a look.
He was rambling a little nervously, he realized.
Why are you still awake?
Am I awake? I don't think so.
Namjoon was looking at the camera keenly.
Happy to see you, though. Happy to know you're getting rest. I can't even do that. I really miss you.
Seokjin pulled in an unsteady breath.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Wow, you miss yourself?
What? Shut up, you're annoying, he said, deflecting utterly.
But Namjoon grinned, looking sleepy and soft. Seokjin didn't just miss, he ached. It had been so long now, since the incident at the studio. Since Yuna and their fight, and then them not talking, and then him trying to sort out his shit and gathering his courage. And then Namjoon leaving,
It had dragged out for literal weeks. So, Tokyo's good?
Yes and no, I guess. This has been the best and worst week of my life. Does that make sense? I just keep counting down to the plane back home. Back to you.
He had a sudden lump in his throat. Imagine that, he thought faintly. Imagine Namjoon wanting to come back to him. Like he was worth that. And he had to learn that he was. But it left him a little breathless anyway. I'll come meet you at the airport, he offered. Then worried that was too much.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Namjoon's gaze was warm.
Please do that.
Okay then, I will. Serious relationship mode. Pick up Namjoon at the airport. He could do that without freaking out. He was going to do it. But since this was the first time they were face to face, however distantly, Seokjin knew they had to talk about the difficult parts. Namjoon seemed to know it too.
I hate how we left things. It shouldn't have gone like that.
Namjoon said, and he nodded.
I was trying to be, I think I was being proud or playing some stupid-ass game. I'm sorry. I get petty sometimes, and I was hurt by the fight and the club thing, and, And I'm not, like, great with other people's feelings. I can barely sort out my own, so.
Namjoon said, long fingers brushing through his hair.
So, I'm sorry.
That's okay, he said. Namjoon had already made up for it, in his view.
No, it's not. I want to do better. I want you to know how I feel, and fuck, are you wearing my shirt?
Seokjin glanced down at himself. The shirt was black and long-sleeved, warm and cozy, and on his chest, in white, read, Physical Education. Namjoon had left it at his, who knew when, but it was good to sleep in. Pine trees up on a mountain. Yeah, I guess, he said, keeping the phone in the air above him. It's comfy.
You're in bed, wearing my clothes.
Namjoon repeated, swallowing.
Oh, fuck. Who the hell invented oceans in the first place?
It's a sea.
You're being pedantic, and I still find you hot. That's witchcraft.
Seokjin grinned, enjoying the attention. He tilted his head back, brushing his neck slowly with his free hand. So you miss me, huh? He asked, lips parted.
Seokjin.
Namjoon didn't even blink, his gaze intense.
I want to be there. God, I want to be there. Words only get us so far. After that, we need acts.
They both seemed to realize the conversation was in uncharted territory. Seokjin shifted on the bed, feeling a little hot.
This is confusing,
Namjoon said. Seokjin let out a frustrated groan. Yeah, we need to talk things out. We need to...
God, I wish I was there to make love to you.
Namjoon's gaze was steady. Seokjin lost his breath.
I'd kiss every inch of your skin, taste you everywhere. I'd keep you in bed until you couldn't walk straight.
Seokjin swallowed, very audibly. Right. I see. He reached down to brush his hand over his crotch under the covers, warm and suddenly rather full. And now I'm hard. Great. Namjoon glanced down at himself.
Yeah, same.
He stared at Namjoon, his mouth very dry.
God, are we doing this?
Yeah, yes, fuck, let's go.
Namjoon said, camera going shaky as he undressed.
But don't take that shirt off.
Seokjin kicked into motion, pushing covers aside and shoving his boxes down until he was only wearing the shirt. The hem rested at his navel, his cock flushed and curved against his lower belly. He lay back down, shirt riding up even further, and he held his phone up, showing his bare midriff, but cutting off before Namjoon could see more than that. On the screen, Namjoon was shirtless, hair a mess, chest pale, nipples dark, and...
Let me see, Seokjin said, skin prickling.
Namjoon bit on his bottom lip a little, like he was feeling shy. But then he smirked. Namjoon held the phone in the air and let the camera slowly slide down to show more of his chest, his taut stomach, his belly button. Namjoon's long fingers circling the pale, smooth skin of his abdomen. And then, finally, the screen showed his cock, full and flushed already. And Namjoon brushed lazy fingers over it, fisting himself loosely. Seokjin's mouth ran dry, knowing Namjoon was naked on a hotel bed somewhere in Tokyo, touching himself. God, he had the most perfect cock. He really did. And Seokjin wanted to touch. God, he... The screen flipped back to Namjoon's face. Namjoon's eyes dark.
Your turn.
What the fuck? He complained. But then, he thought that he had been born for this precise moment. He wasn't a performer for no reason. He wasn't this devastatingly handsome for no reason. He relaxed against the sheets, the shirt riding up a bit more. And then he bit on his bottom lip, stroking across his exposed chest and belly, looking up at the phone through his lashes. He bunched up the shirt enough to circle his thumb over his nipples, and he was so touch-deprived, so Namjoon-deprived, that a little moan escaped him.
Seokjin, God, you're so responsive. I love it when you get like this. Love playing with you when you're needy. Fuck, baby.
Namjoon was clearly holding the phone with one hand, and with the other, well.
Come on, show me everything.
He swallowed and moved his phone down to show his lower half. He was very hard now, cock flushed fully against his lower belly. He ran fingers over himself, thumbing at the vein on the underside of his cock and letting Namjoon see it. He knew how to put on a show. And he thought of the pictures Hoseok had uploaded, of Hoseok and Namjoon and the other musicians in Tokyo, in a few clubs, at the studio. And Seokjin had told himself to not freak out, because Namjoon had spent weeks with all of Girl Love without him having even thought twice about it. So really, what was different now? Right. He was emotionally compromised now. He was needy and maybe a little uncertain. And that probably wouldn't change until Namjoon came back and Seokjin could launch on him. He'd examined Hoseok's updates for potential nines or eights who might be hitting on Namjoon, although Namjoon had given no reason for him to do so. He just needed a bit of reassurance, maybe. Namjoon was right. Words only helped up to a point. Then, axe. He held the phone over his lower half and spread his legs a little.
Seokjin.
He kept lazily touching his cock, then gently cupped his balls, forefinger running over his perineum. He whined at the back of his throat.
Oh, fuck. 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 Keep touching yourself.
He brought the phone back to eye level and blinked at Namjoon. But I don't get to see you like this, he complained. And Namjoon made a frustrated little noise. Namjoon was flushed, was biting on his lips.
Seokjin wanted to kiss him. He wanted to.
Right. So, only one of us gets a proper show.
Namjoon reasoned, and then lifted a fisted hand.
Rock, paper, scissors for it.
You're kidding. But Namjoon was already counting down from three, so he panicked and went for rock. Namjoon had paper and grinned wickedly. Seokjin huffed.
So, where were we?
Namjoon asked, clearly pleased with himself.
I think you were about to spread your legs for me, huh? Come on, I want to see you. You're so pretty. You're the prettiest thing I've ever fucked.
Seokjin 1, Yuna 0, he thought to himself, even as he felt himself flush increasingly red. He was confident, sure. He looked good. He knew this. But when Namjoon looked at him, he also got a little desperate and needy, making him feel exposed.
Don't be shy,
Namjoon murmured, voice all hot and velvety, eyes dark. I am not shy, he objected. Stage nerves, maybe.
Come on, it's just us. I'm so hard for you, it's embarrassing.
Namjoon was licking his lips slowly, a hungry look in his eyes.
Come on, let me see.
There was an edge of desperation to Namjoon's words, the cut right through him. He reached down with his phone, this time spreading his legs fully. He looked down to assess the angle. This was tricky, what the hell? And settled where Namjoon had a pretty perfect view of his spread thighs, his cock, his balls. He lay back further and parted his legs even more, showing his hole.
Oh, fuck.
Namjoon's voice rang clearly, and Seokjin fisted himself loosely. Tell me if the angle slips, he said, closing his eyes, relaxing against the mattress, and running his free hand over himself, reaching down to his hole with two dry fingers circling.
Fuck, I want to put my mouth on you,
Namjoon said, and he kinged a little.
I love how you taste. Love how loud you get when I lick over you. Been thinking about it all week. I get you so wet with my spit. Fuck.
I'd want you to fuck my mouth first, he said, because he'd been thinking about that. He was burning up, had no doubt that his face was bright red, the tips of his ears burning. The phone felt hot in his grip, his hand sweaty. He could hear Namjoon, unsteady, rattled breaths.
Yeah, fuck, that's good. Yeah, we do that fast. You, on your knees, me. Shit, you suck me off better than anyone.
Seokjin blinked up at the ceiling, glancing down at himself to see Namjoon on his screen, looking a bit wrecked and staring very intently at the display of Seokjin touching his cock, balls, his hole. No real action plan other than teasing. Seokjin licked his lips. I have?
Are you kidding? The way you let me fuck your throat. Shit, Seokjin.
I mean, of course I have. He then decided, and Namjoon laughed a little. It was all that stage fellatio that really taught me my skills.
And do I taste like icing sugar?
You wish, he said, but then sighed. You taste bitter and salty. I love how you taste on my tongue. Pre-cum had appeared at the slit of his cock. He thumbed it off and smeared it on himself slowly. I'd let you do just about anything to me, you know?
No, you, that is not fair. Don't say shit like that to me when I'm not there. Fuck, there's so much I want to do that we haven't even... God, that's...
A conversation for another time, he ventured.
Yeah, exactly.
Seokjin grinned at the ceiling, closing his eyes again. He was more relaxed, enjoying this more. He stroked himself with more intent. So, I'd take you in my mouth, and then you'd eat me out until I'm all wet. And then what?
God, after that I'd flip you over and fuck you from behind. Would you like that?
He was encouraged, stroking himself. Yeah. God, yeah. I like that. Fuck. I get on all fours for you and have you fill me with your cock, with your cum, and... Namjoon choked.
Am I fucking you raw?
Seokjin pulled the phone up to his face and cocked an eyebrow. Oh, Namjoon looked wrecked, heat high on his cheeks, lips swollen and pupils dilated. He looked a little warm and sweaty, and Seokjin knew that sex scent on him and missed it. He licked his lips.
Babe, if we're putting a fantasy together, then yes, we're fucking raw.
He squeezed his cock, throbbing in his hand, his hips shifting restlessly.
Come on, don't tell me you haven't thought about it.
Namjoon blinked at the screen.
Oh, I've thought about it. All the goddamn time. It's absolutely inappropriate how much I think about that. Do you wanna...
Namjoon cleared his throat, one hand decidedly off screen, but the movement of his arm was clear.
Do you wanna finger yourself?
Namjoon somehow sounded commanding and shy at the same time. Seokjin blinked up at the phone, flushed and disheveled, and in Namjoon's shirt.
Do you want me to?
Namjoon didn't even flinch.
Yes, please.
Please what?
Namjoon groaned in protest. He was driving Namjoon a little mad. Good. Very good. Namjoon stared at the screen, eyes dark.
Please, let me watch you fuck yourself on your fingers.
Seokjin sucked in a breath.
Okay. Okay. Hang on.
A frantic search later, he was back on the bed with lube. But he needed his hands. He didn't want his phone getting sticky. Ugh. You are taking this to your grave, fuckboy, he threatened, as he placed a pillow at the bottom of his bed and leaned his phone against it. And Namjoon just grinned. He propped his back up with pillows and settled on the bed, legs spread wide, giving Namjoon a full goddamn view. Namjoon, who had been lying down on his hotel bed, now was also sat up, back against the headboard, naked, with dark eyes, chest and neck a little flushed.
Okay. Okay, spread your legs a bit more. Lean back a bit. That's it. Let me see you.
Oh, he was fucked.
Namjoon's breath had steadied, a telltale that he wasn't jerking off. Instead, his voice was one of concentration.
Good. Now, get two fingers covered and slowly, slowly reach down and start rubbing over your hole. Just light, just teasing. And imagine it's me. You can close your eyes if you want, but keep doing as I tell you, okay?
Okay, he breathed.
Good. Now, cup your balls with the other hand. Tug on them a little. I know you like it. That's it. Fuck. Such a good boy.
Seokjin's head tilted back, warmth tugging low at his belly. His ears were tuned to Namjoon's voice, his hands working on himself.
Now, slowly, push one finger in, Just the tip, at first. Good. Now, pull it out. Nuh-uh, no attitude. Push it in again. Oh, baby, you sound so fucked. God, I wish I was there to take care of you. We'll do it this way. Hang on, let me... Okay, pour some lube on your hole. Get yourself wet. That's it. I'd warm it up for you if I could, baby. God, that looks good. Okay, push back with two. Is that better?
Yeah, he agreed, heaving. His balls were drawn tight, his cock pulsating against his belly, muscles aching from how wide he kept his legs. Picturing Namjoon between them, Namjoon's hand between his cheeks with his long, talented fingers. He pushed in two fingers, squeezing the base of his cock with the other hand.
God, why aren't you here?
Namjoon's breathing was more labored. He was back to touching himself.
Soon, promise. Just a few days, and I'll be there. Fuck, just keep fucking yourself with your fingers. Oh, real deep, like I would. Press them to your prostate. It's sensitive, but I know you can do it. Oh, fuck, that's it.
Namjoon coaxed when he let out a very undignified groan, his body shivering, his wrist straining with the angle when he was ignoring it.
Keep rubbing yourself there, baby. Does it feel good?
So good. Oh, shit. It's so, so good.
His other hand was idly running over his cock. He was aware Namjoon hadn't told him to jerk off. Was it absurd to be writhing on his bed 7-something in the morning, having technology-assisted video sex with Namjoon? His cock didn't seem to think so.
Yeah. Keep working those fingers in,
Namjoon said, into the suddenly electric air of his bedroom.
Oh, shit. Your hole looks so good. It's perfect. God, I want to sink my cock into that. Would you want me to?
Yeah,
he groaned, cupping his balls with his other hand.
Please.
Yeah, third finger. Do it nice and slow. Slower. Burns? Good or bad?
Good.
He sighed restlessly, three fingers in him.
It's not the same, though. Not the same as you.
I know, baby. But for now, it'll do. Start stroking your cock. Push those fingers in. There you go. Put some lube on your cock, too. I want to see you messy. Shit. Listen to you. Is it good? Talk to me.
His head lolled to the side, little sense left in him.
It's so good.
He breathed out, hips twisting restlessly between the hand on his cock and the fingers inside him. He was a fucking mess.
Look at how worked up you are. God, I know exactly how I'd make you come. Baby, so desperate for it, shit. I'd lube myself up. Fuck you raw, just like you wanted. I'd make you beg first, though. Push you down, rub my cock on your hole until you begged. Until it drove you mad. And then I'd flip you over on all fours and just push in. And fuck, I'd take you so hard. Really, fuck you, like I'm the only one who gets to do it, I'd...
You are... God, baby, you are...
He breathed, his cock throbbing in his hand from the thought alone.
Oh, good. Fuck, that's good.
Namjoon said, sounding genuinely relieved.
Fuck, how lucky am I? Look at you right now. I want to make you beg for my cum. Do you... Would you beg? Would you?
Yeah, I'd beg. I would. Please don't stop. Please let me...
We're not stopping. Yeah, I'll take care of you. Keep those fingers going. Good. Press them right in and rub yourself. Fuck. Such a good boy, Sokjin. Yeah, fist yourself harder. Yeah, so good. You're doing so well. I'd flip you onto your back once I was close enough. I'd turn you around so you're on your back like you are now. And I keep your legs spread wide. Fuck you so hard. Pushing so deep. When do you want me to come? On your chest? On your ass? On your face? Fuck. Do you want me to come on your face? I'm obsessed with your mouth. God, I love coming on your tongue and lips. It looks so good. Oh, fuck. When do you want me to come?
You'd pull out, come against my hole, and then you'd push your cock back in and finish inside me. And it'd be so messy. God, and have your cum everywhere.
Oh, shit. Shit. Look at me.
Namjoon said. So Sokjin looked at his phone, propped against the pillow at the foot of his bed.
Stupid phone. No comparison to the real thing. And focused on the all-too-small view of Namjoon, the best that he could.
Yeah, keep going.
Namjoon said. So he jerked off. He fingered himself. He moaned and shivered from his own hands, letting Namjoon see everything, watching the screen. Namjoon didn't miss a beat.
Oh, God. I'd watch my cum drip out of you. Watch your stretched hole smeared with my cum. It looks so good, baby. Don't stop. That's it. Picture it. Keep picturing it. I know you're close.
June. Fuck. Stop. Baby. Oh, fuck. Please.
You can come. It's okay. You can come.
He didn't need to be told a third time. Oh, he never, ever had orgasms that intense from masturbating. Not normally, not ever. But now, his body pulsated from his toes to the top of his head as he came, his stomach getting decorated with streaks of white, his fingers pressed to a swollen prostate, his hand fisting his throbbing cock. And he moaned, helplessly, something that sounded very much like Namjoon's name. He heard groans, telltale and familiar. Wait, he said, and Namjoon swore. Wait, he said, fingers slipping out, his mind clouded in a post-orgasm haze as he reached to get his phone, the screen getting smeared with lube. God damn it. And he ended up on his belly on the bed. But Namjoon was good for him, too. Kept his phone raised high, showing Namjoon sat on the bed, cock in hand, the tip shiny with pre-cum, flushed a deep red. Namjoon's cheeks were rosy, and Namjoon's bottom lip was sucked between his teeth. Absolutely sinful. A tight fist working on himself. God, you look so hot. Sokjin marveled. So close. Fucking hell. He licked his lips, staring. And Namjoon swore, frustrated and needy, hips bucking up and into his tight fist.
You can come, sweetheart, he said.
And Namjoon sounded almost relieved as he moaned and came instantly, head tilting back. Thick cum smeared his belly and chest in spurts, as the camera trembled. It looked almost painful, a full-body orgasm, Namjoon's thighs and stomach flexing, Namjoon's hips still lifting to fuck into his fist needily.
God, I want to be sat on that cock right now, he said,
and Namjoon moaned a little, finally letting go of his cock. If Sokjin thought he was a mess, Namjoon didn't look much better. Sokjin rolled over onto his back, the sheets of his bed all twisted, his feet on his pillows, his head at the bottom. He was still breathing heavily, clumsily holding his phone above him. The air smelled of lube and cum and sweat. His thighs were prickling from the stretch, his hole a little sore. Cum stains on Nam June's black shirt. He felt fucked. He hadn't been, but the feeling was nearly identical. He was still disgruntled by the lack of body heat, of not having Nam June there, missing his taste, scent, touch. He wanted Nam June fingering him in the aftershocks, teasing him and making him squirm. He wanted them murmuring filth to each other as they made out. He wanted to go again. It was 7:40. "You alive?" he asked Nam June, keeping the phone in the air above him. Nam June had given up sitting and was lying across the hotel bed again, naked and flushed, phone held up in the air above him.
"Alive? Don't think so. Fuck, I'm dead. I came a lot."
Nam June was looking down at himself with disbelief and then rubbed a hand over his mouth.
"You are... God, I almost feel like I'm there. Like we just fucked."
"Yeah, I know. That was goddamn amazing. Fuck. Fuck, we should have been doing that all week."
"We would have died."
"Yeah, but what a way to go," he argued. And Nam June shook his head in disbelief, but still looked pleased. "You know, we'd rest until we got hard again, and then I'd let you fuck me real slow, although I'm too sensitive. I bet I'd come again." Nam June's eyes flashed.
"Don't tempt me. Oh, fuck, do tempt me. I'm at your mercy. Why pretend I'm not?"
He grinned, biting the inside of his cheek. Nam June was fucking gorgeous on the screen, and the hormones had, momentarily, let Seok Jin forget about the difficult things. "It's not going to be much longer now, you know? Just 2 days until you're back," he said, with a slow exhale. 2 days too long.
"Yeah, it'll go quick,"
Nam June said, but it sounded like it would not go quick at all. Nam June looked a bit more serious already, even as his voice was soft.
"Maybe we can actually have a conversation when I get back, rather than us just finding the nearest bed. We've taken some of the edge off, right?"
"Oh, stoke the fire."
"Point taken,"
Nam June said, looking genuinely concerned they'd just fuck at the airport terminal. Not a bad idea, in Seok Jin's estimation.
"Hey, how about when I'm back, we don't fuck for the first 24 hours?
Seok Jin reeled. "What kind of shit rule is that?" Nam June clicked his tongue.
"It's a rule I just made up."
"We haven't slept together in weeks, and you want to wait even longer?"
"What's 1 day more then?"
Nam June asked, and looked faintly pleased with himself. Asshole.
"Come on, I think we need it. You know that I've done it all wrong with you. Or, you know, we started with the sex, and then we kept going with it. And I was so into you early on. And then I was trying to throw a relationship on top of the sex when I knew you had your doubts, and when really those things should have happened the other way around. I thought it'd just click into place without us having to talk about it, without me having to say it. Stupid of me. So let's do it the right way around for a bit, maybe."
24 hours was nothing, he knew that. He just ached and wanted so badly. Fine. Can we make out, though?"
"Yeah. Fully clothed. Hands above the waist. No grinding. Nothing horizontal."
"Hey, it's yourself you're blue-balling," he argued. But truthfully, he was worried for his own balls. "You're on, then. I'm gonna win."
"It's not a competition."
"Watch me," he dared. And Nam June grinned a little. And he found himself grinning too, a bit softly, looking a bit smitten and dopey on the screen.
This was the worst.
You know, you were right about me. I would have legged it if you'd brought up the relationship stuff earlier, he then admitted. You weren't wrong about that, so I guess I'm glad it's gone how it's gone, really. He swallowed thickly. That, you know, you stuck around until I caught the hell up and fell for you. Cunning, actually. Namjoon smirked, smug.
Mm-hmm, I know, right? My grand plan.
Oh, was it really?
No, a plan. Me? No. I just liked you. A bit, at first, and then like crazy. And I could tell, you know, that you liked me too. You liked me a lot, I thought.
Overconfident, he muttered, rolling his eyes. Delusional, megalomaniacal. Namjoon didn't say the expected line. Instead, Namjoon smiled, softly, and said,
I love you.
Seokjin lost his breath, laying across his own bed in a cum-stained t-shirt. Oh, well, he liked that better. Wow, he said, and meant it. Namjoon laughed, but he was still winded. Oh, wow. Namjoon looked embarrassed, rubbing at his face.
Ignore me. I'm post-coital and hormonal. I'll shut up. I'll.
No, don't. Shit, you're like the perfect boyfriend, he said in awe, and then shut the hell up in horror. They were not okay. They hadn't resolved any of their shit. Sure, having international video sex was fun, but Seokjin absolutely had not solved his own bullshit, and he didn't know where they stood exactly. The L word was one thing, was a concept he could just about manage. It was the B word, with its expectations and promises, that really freaked him out. And Namjoon had caught it as well.
Perfect, huh?
Slip of the tongue, he hurried to say, panicking a little. Just an expression. Oh, god damn it. Namjoon grinned.
You just gotta wait and see on that one.
Namjoon definitely looked smug.
Night, baby.
And then Namjoon hung up on him, which was probably for the best because the next second, Seokjin had buried his face in his sheets like a 12-year-old, silently screaming about a boy he liked. The airport was busy on Thursday afternoon. The arrivals hall crowded with chauffeurs holding up signs with names for Westerners and Chinese businessmen. He stood among them, checking his phone constantly. Landed from 35 minutes earlier. He knew there was border control and luggage and probable queues, but it had been 35 minutes, and his hands were sweaty and his heart was at his throat. He paced fervently and kept checking his phone. Namjoon didn't feel like a real person right then. Namjoon was a mirage, maybe, something or someone he had made up. The touch of him, the scent of him, all felt just out of reach. And the anticipation was a restless, nervous buzzing in his veins. What if it'd be awkward? What if they didn't know what to say? What if they realized it wasn't going to work after all? Love was awful. Love was the absolute fucking worst. Why had he signed up for this again? People appeared through the automatic doors, dragging suitcases. Japanese people. From Tokyo? From the same flight? A whole throng of them, a group of women in their 60s. Seokjin restlessly looked above their heads. The doors closed. He sighed. He'd bought Namjoon flowers, which was stupid because Namjoon said flowers died, so what was the point? But he'd passed a flower seller on his way to the train, and it gave his hands something to do. It helped with how he felt like he was offering Namjoon something. The flowers were that offer materialized. Yellow roses, kind of bruised by the cold and out of season. Well, that summed him up nicely. No, wait. He was blooming. He was in bloom. Positive self-reflections. Wilting or not, he paced and checked his phone, stomach in knots, so nervous he wanted to throw up. He had changed his clothes half a dozen times, had fixed his hair for a solid 40 minutes too. He wanted to be worth coming back to. Mirages flickered in the horizon, unreal and impossibly far away. That was what Namjoon felt like too, when the automatic doors finally revealed him, in a simple black hoodie, a dust mask over his mouth, pulling on a suitcase, and Hoseok right behind him. Seokjin froze, a little stunned, as Namjoon looked around, scanning the hordes. And then Namjoon clocked him and began to walk through the Japanese mob, nearly walking into two old ladies who glared at him. But Namjoon was pushing through them in haste, and Seokjin's legs finally cooperated. But the hall felt as endless as a desert right then, infinite and impossible to cross. But he rounded people, snaked through a family, fought his way through, and then Seokjin had an armful of Namjoon pressed to him tight. He was trapped in a fierce, desperate hug. Air escaped his lungs from the impact. It wasn't a mirage. It was something real. Solid mass, warmth and muscle, familiar and their own. He couldn't tell which one of them was hugging tighter, but neither was letting go. He buried his face in the crook of Namjoon's neck, keeping arms tight around his back.
"Hi,"
he managed into the fabric of the hoodie. It had been a week, and he had never missed anyone in his life with the raw ache that had followed him everywhere. Relief and joy mixed with the ache, and he burrowed in further, and Namjoon hugged him back just as tight, while people around them pushed and shoved. "Aye," Namjoon finally returned, fists twisting in the back of his coat. "God, I missed you so much." Seokjin pulled back a little, hands moving to Namjoon's hair, carding through it. "I missed you more. I..."
"Well, I'm third wheeling, huh?" Hoseok cut in brightly from beside them, with a shit-eating grin on his face.
Oh, Seokjin had forgotten other people even existed.
"Shit, sorry," he said, taken aback, and moved to give Hoseok a one-armed hug.
Namjoon's arm did not uncurl from around his waist as he did so. Hoseok patted his back.
"Good to see you, Hyung."
"You too.
You look great. How was Tokyo?" he asked, a little dazed, looking to Namjoon, who pulled off his dust mask.
A 10, he realized at that precise moment. Namjoon was a fucking goddamn 10. He stared in awe.
"Recording? Amazing. This one's so-called company, though? Awful," Hoseok said, and then stared into the distance with an exaggerated, unhappy face.
"I miss Seokjin, Hobi," Hoseok whined dramatically. "Oh, why does time drag so slow, Hobi? What do you think Seokjin's doing right now, Hobi? Yes, your mixtape is amazing, but you know who else is amazing? My Ginny, Hobi. He invented breathing, Hobi."
"I did not say those last things," Namjoon intervened, looking embarrassed and cute. Seokjin wanted Namjoon embarrassed around him all the goddamn time.
"You might as well have," Hoseok said with a roll of his eyes.
"Such a crybaby. I never knew. So I'm going to go home and leave you to it."
"God. God, they just grow up so fast."
Hoseok looked at them both and shook his head dramatically.
"You two are going to be obnoxious, I can just tell. Now, go be in love and don't call me for, like, at least 3 days.
And then Hoseok hugged them both quickly, and with a final wink, Hoseok pushed into the crowd. Seokjin whistled, shaking his head.
"Well, you just came across as extra pathetic there. I mean, I pine too, but I did it with grace and dignity, with..."
Namjoon let out a frustrated groan.
"Just kiss me already."
He paused, blinked, and kissed Namjoon, because Namjoon was there and he could.
Oh, there be no grace or dignity in this one.
Namjoon kissed him back, soft and sweet, and Seokjin's poor heart ached. He then remembered the flowers squashed against Namjoon's back.
I got you flowers.
One yellow rose had been beheaded. But Namjoon smiled, taking them from him.
Buttering me up, huh?
And it's working.
Yeah,
Namjoon said, and kissed him again. And this time, the kiss was deeper, went beyond chaste affection. Seokjin looped his arms around Namjoon's neck. Arrival hall and old Japanese ladies be damned. Namjoon sighed against his mouth.
Can you come over?
Namjoon asked, and he nodded. He ran his fingers through Namjoon's hair, holding him close.
And, like, stay?
Namjoon then added.
As in, not leave, ever. Can you do that?
That's called kidnapping, I'm pretty sure, he said, smiling against Namjoon's mouth. He also had to be at the theater for 6 o'clock. No nights off for him. Come on, you need sleep. He grabbed the handle of Namjoon's suitcase and pulled it along, his other hand slipping into Namjoon's, like it was the most natural thing. God, how had he thought this would be awkward, that they'd be estranged? He had not felt closer to anyone in his entire life. Namjoon was holding his yellow roses with a pleased grin as they headed for the train station. They had just missed the train to the city, but they ran every 15 minutes, so they stood at the end of the platform while further travellers gradually gathered around them with their luggage.
Hey, we should make note of the time,
Namjoon then said, after a solid few minutes of them kissing then and there, somehow unable to stop.
For our scientific experiment.
24 hours, he complained, their bodies pressed together, the heat inviting and needy. His guts were already drawn up tight with want. You and your stupid-ass ideas, he sighed, and kissed Namjoon.
Yeah,
Namjoon agreed against his mouth, finger looping around the belt he had on.
Hey, so, maybe my past self was an idiot. We shouldn't listen to that guy. He forgot how fucking good you smell. Fuck, come here.
Namjoon's hand moved from his hip to his ass, pulling him in. Seokjin stepped back, hand on Namjoon's chest. What, am I just cheap meat to you? Because I'm not. Namjoon looked crestfallen and then pouted. Seokjin cocked an eyebrow at him. We are working on this relationship, Kim Namjoon, because your cerebral anti-hedonistic ass wanted to. Suck it the hell up. Namjoon muttered something about other things he'd rather suck as he got his phone out, checking the time with a displeased frown. Seokjin was enjoying his mini victory, comforted by the power he clearly had over Namjoon. But then he stilled and grabbed Namjoon's wrist, holding the phone where it was. Huh, he said, throat a bit tight, all notions of upper hand vanishing as he suddenly felt weak. Namjoon looked from the phone to him.
Yeah, pretty serious, huh?
The screen went dark again, and the picture that Namjoon had taken of the two of them at Jeonsook's birthday party faded. The one of them together and smiley and, well, he could admit it now, clearly a bit in love. Yeah, it was serious. It was Namjoon's lock screen serious that Namjoon wanted to see that whenever he reached for his phone. Seokjin didn't know what to say. Namjoon's lips pressed to his hair.
Well, you called me your boyfriend, which I've wanted for a while now, so I'm just gonna go for it. Empty drawers, second toothbrush. You think it ends with the lock screen? Shit, baby, you don't even know. I'm gonna boyfriend the shit out of this.
He swallowed, audibly, as Namjoon slipped his phone back into his pocket. Ah, I see. He wanted all of that. He did. But his mouth felt very dry.
Okay, but I'm gonna fuck up a lot.
He hated saying it, but he knew it was true.
I'm working on my shit. I really am, but sometimes I'll still fuck up and need us to take a step back, maybe. But that's probably because I'm freaking out over how much I want this, so remember that, please.
Namjoon took this in and then nodded, arm firm around his waist.
Okay, I'll remember that. If you remember to tell me to, like, be better at saying how I feel, I'm gonna need reminding.
Okay, deal.
Seokjin kept his arms tight around Namjoon's waist.
I really don't want this to fail because I gave up too easy.
Me neither,
Namjoon said. The next train was coming, people reaching for their bags. Namjoon did too. He felt a surge of nerves and pulled Namjoon even closer. Look, he said with sudden clarity, and Namjoon stopped. He looked at Namjoon, taken aback by how precious the other's face had become for him. He was instantly flooded with affection and trust, and all of those silly things that were treacherous as hell. But he looked at Namjoon, and he felt certain. God, he felt so certain. Even where no real certainty could exist.
Look, he repeated slowly. If, in the end, we're still going to break each other's hearts because we can't know what'll happen. I can't know that. No one can ever know that. Uemura never knew whether the next step would kill him or not, right? But he kept going anyway, and he conquered nearly all the world thanks to that. So if we succeed, we succeed. But if we fail, if in the end you and I still fail at this, then I want it to be because we were so madly in love that we went mad, maybe. And people will talk for decades about how we just got lost in it and how epic this was. I don't want it to sound like I'm setting us up to fail. I'm not. I don't want that. I'm just saying that if this ever ends, then I want it to end knowing that we gave it our all and that you really were the love of my life.
Namjoon looked at him calmly, hand warm against his hip.
Okay,
he said softly.
Okay, we can do that.
The train had slowed down next to them, doors opening and people shoving each other to get in.
I want any good or bad to have been worth it, Seokjin explained, worried it wasn't translating.
Worth it?
Namjoon asked, grabbing his hand, flowers in the other, and Seokjin followed, pulling Namjoon's suitcase along.
Forget about worth it, Namjoon said as they boarded. You have been worth it since it began.
You know what I mean, he insisted, arm already around Namjoon's waist.
The doors slid shut behind them, announcements blaring over their heads. Their mouths were already an inch apart, the need for contact unrelenting.
I know what you mean. We can do it your way. I like the way it sounds,
Namjoon said, and then smiled.
Hell, let's burn each other up, make them all jealous. Let's ruin love for everyone else.
Jimin will never forgive us, he said, very seriously, but then grinned.
Namjoon shrugged, faux modest.
You'll get over it.
The train jerked, full of people and luggage, and Namjoon, and the squashed roses pressed to him tight. The end.
Still love me, it's been a long time without you. Can't help it, FaceTiming all night, can't sleep lonely. Now that you're gone, I got 20/20 vision, but it's all that you hear. I can see it in another way. I just wanna.
Thank you for listening to Imprints for the Boys in the Back. If you enjoyed the story, please let the author, Anna Arctic Grey, know by dropping a kudos or a comment on Archive of Our Own. If you enjoyed my performance of the story, please leave me some feedback at Archive of Our Own as Lunchy or on Twitter as Lunchy_pods. I'd love to hear where you were and what you were doing when you were listening to it. The music used throughout this recording was Moonchild by RM, Better by Khalid, Everything Goes by RM, None of Your Concern by Janae Iko, and Life's Too Short by Tinashe. And finally, some reader free talk. Hi, this is Lunchy. My sister's a BTS fan, and so I started to listen to their music, but I wasn't fandomly inclined to find fic about them. Like, you know, there's sometimes there's like stuff that you enjoy, and even if you're fanish, you're just like, I don't need to like explore anything in a fandom way about them. And I felt that way about BTS. But then Anna Arctic Grey, who I have podficked before, wrote a BTS fic, and I both worship and curse her for doing so, because then it was like, oh my god, this fic is so great, this pairing is so great. And then I tried to read more fic featuring this pairing, I can't find any like that is like very specifically about this ship. My AO3 filtering skills are not that advanced. I don't know where you go to like get the unfiltered Namjin only stuff. But so anyway, yeah, like I both love and blame the author, as you do. So because I started uploading and recording this in August of 2019, and it is now almost February of 2020, there may have been a lot of things that happened in the beginning of the recording that I no longer remember. Like, I've got some notes with me, but like, I could not tell you what the, like, hopefully just through the performance, you kind of get whatever it was, the vibe that I was trying to go for and stuff, because like, I don't know. The one thing that I feel very strongly about after having read this fic is the author's grasp on what she wanted to do with Seokjin and how he was as a character. I felt like he was like, God, he was so relatable. You know, he wants people close, but at the same time, he's scared of being known. And it really screws things up for him. He has a lot of knee-jerk reactions and wants to run like as far away as possible to avoid feelings and avoid getting close to someone and getting hurt again. And they were like, oh God, it's so wonderfully refreshing to find, to read something and feel like you want to sit the main character down and be like, you are making some really dumb, selfish choices. Please think about other people who you are affecting. Like there was a part where he was talking about how he doesn't want anything to change. He wants to keep sleeping with Namjoon. He wants things to keep being easy, and he doesn't want to talk about things anymore. Like, why can't it just stay like this pristine moment forever? And I'm like, because that's taking advantage of like the other person. What the hell? Like, I don't know. Like, I just, and that was the thing. Like, that was the beauty of the writing. I love that the story like drew these feelings out of me, because I just like, I felt for Jin at the same time that I was like, get your shit together. Namjoon does not deserve this. I remember having like watching a lot of BTS Run episodes. So those are like the episodes where they fool around and play games and all that sort of stuff, and really paying attention to their use of language, like how much Korean language depends on these like extraneous sounds, like and all this sort of stuff before they actually start talking. And I'm like, oh, this is a very interesting and particular use of these sorts of noises before you actually start getting into the meat of what you are conversing about. And I tried to emulate that in the fic, and I think I started off strong, but towards the end, I probably like noises, whatever. But yeah, I took a lot of liberties to have the dialogue
have these extra noises because I was influenced by the things that I had watched. I had the most fun when I was performing the moments when Jin was spiraling, because he was spiraling so quickly and thoughts were going so fast and was jumping to so many conclusions, and it was just like, it was so great to be like overly dramatic or just like upset. Oh, I'm so upset. So it's just so fun to be able to like do that. I severely underestimated how annoyed I was going to be by the end with the decision to add the pinging message noises throughout the recording. Some of this is based on like, I mean, do messages even sound like this anymore? Do these like pinging noises make sense? Like, they're not uniform anymore, I don't think. So, I mean, I had them and I'm like, oh, I think I'm really dating myself by like putting these in there, but whatever, we've decided to do this. We're going to do it. But gosh, there was so much chat and so many chat noises that I was like one by one inserting timing so that they would like not overlap and make sense kind of. I was, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if how I would do that if not this way in the future, but yeah, it was a choice that I made, and gosh, it. I really respect and admire Anna Arctic Grey's ability to write incredible dialogue, like atmospheric dialogue, because there were various portions, like the conversation that they have on the balcony on New Year's Eve, and the conversation that they have after Jin thinks that Namjoon's been cheating on him with Yuna, and they have it out on the street where he's like, oh, thank God you did something wrong. Now I can run away. And Namjoon, like, I cannot believe you are doing this to me. That is so unfair. You don't give anything. Anyway, so those two conversations, also the conversation in the bar, they were so highly fraught, tense, like emotionally impactful. I really wanted to do a good job with them and reflect like what I thought was happening, how I thought the tension was ramping up in those scenes. So, I mean, I hope that you got what I was trying to go for. I hope that it didn't seem overacted, but I mean, it probably was. But, you know, it's all fun and entertainment, so whatever. I do remember vividly that generally I record at night because conditions are better. It's a bit quieter outside, so you don't have to stop so often to be like, someone's mowing, or like, someone's hooning on the street, and I'm going to edit that out. Yeah, so I usually record at night, but that argument was a daylight recording session because I was getting heated. I was like yelling and stuff. So I was like, oh, can't be doing that at 1 a.m. This project also allowed me to really play with how dialogue was going to sound. There's a certain cadence that you read dialogue with when you are like reading. But when you're actually performing the dialogue, I don't want to get trapped in that sort of rhythm because it doesn't seem genuine, I guess, or realistic. And I was trying to find different ways of delivering that dialogue where it would have not so much of a scripted feel to it, even though obviously it is scripted. There is some like epiphanies that you also have when you perform podfic as well, because while reading, I didn't really have any, you know, feeling about like what Seokjin and Taehyung's conversation was going to be. But then I realized as I was recording that, hold on, they're having this conversation after going out at a nightclub and it's going to be like 2-3 a.m. in the morning. So when I went to perform that, I'm like, oh my God, this is like that bone tired, deeping, meaningful that you have with a friend when you're like early 20s, late teens, and just like, oh my God, I need to sleep, but like, let's have a talk about like fucking life and shit. So I wanted to like evoke that sense in that scene. And it's so interesting because, you know, this is something that you can just repeatedly do in podfic that you constantly have to be reminded of if you just like read it on the page. So yeah, I thought that was like a very interesting experience. I realize I ended part 3 awkwardly, and I'm so
sorry for the people who have listened to this part by part as I uploaded instead of all at one go. I left you hanging on such a hideously depressing cliffhanger for like 3 months. I am sorry. I did not realize that it was literally going to be resolved in the next section. It's just that when I was recording this, I'm like, all right, so, you know, split it into 4 parts. It's going to be 25, 50, 75, and 100%. Like, those are great. And so it just so happened that, like, the part where he's having suicide ideation was literally like the end, like at 75%, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to keep going because what if the next section takes me to like 78% or something and it doesn't get resolved, because I couldn't remember how it resolves. I'm like, okay, well, it's a bad place to end, but I will end it here. And then like literally the next recording session, I was like, oh fuck my god, oh no. So I'm very sorry. So their conversation at the bar when Seokjin is like, sorry I ran away, let's do this. And Namjoon's like, nah, I'm going to fuck off to Tokyo. That was really hard. I did that quite a few times because I didn't know how combative I wanted them to sound. Maybe I wanted them to sound like tired. So I did it like a few ways before I decided on what eventually made it to the final cut. But it was an interesting experience to be like, you know, do I want them to sound like roaring angry, or do I want them to sound like completely exhausted and fed up and like, I don't know, exasperated about this whole thing? And again, it's just like, these are really interesting like choices that, you know, you have to decide on, because you can read it in a number of ways. But like once you commit it to audio, it's like, well, this is it. This is like what I think it is. And yeah, it was interesting to think about the different kinds of deliveries that I could have gone with instead. So I normally don't have any problems doing sex scenes, but I think as I like get older, I'm like maybe tired of doing sex scenes. I'm not sure. This is not any kind of recommendation on the author's part. This is just my own personal feelings. But truly, like the hold up between for like 3 months is like I really got pod blocked, like stuck on the phone sex scene. I just felt like while I was recording it, this was going on for so long. It's so long. I just, how long am I going to have to make porn noises into the microphone? This is going on for so long. And I started to reevaluate like how I do sex scenes. Will I change up how I do them in the future so that I don't have this kind of block again? No idea. But anyway, so that was like, that took like, I don't know, 5 to 8 sessions at least over the span of 3 months. So perhaps you can tell by how ungodly edited together it is. But an amusing anecdote is like, as I was doing it, I was just thinking like, if some enterprising person really could just like cut out bit like the Namjoon bits when he's directing Seokjin on how to masturbate, like you could really cut this out and just use it as like your own masturbation aid if you really wanted to. And I just like was so amused by this thought. The good thing, I suppose, about like this particular section taking so long was that in the midst of this project, Tinashe dropped an album and included a song that I thought was amazingly perfect for the ending. I don't know what it is, but like I had a really hard time trying to find songs that I thought were really fitting from like Seokjin's perspective. So I actually ended up using songs that were reflective of what I thought Namjoon was thinking. I've done this in the past, but like, okay, all the songs are really reflecting what Namjoon is thinking and feeling. And like, that's his side of the story that you don't get to hear about because it's from Seokjin's perspective. But yeah, I just kind of thought, all right, like the message of the Tinashe song is that life is too short, and that really encapsulates what, you know, Jin pretty much thinks or learns by the end of the fic. And then it's even talking about like, FaceTiming, and I'm like, wow, this is like almost a one for one for what happens in this last part of the podfic. And I'm like, great, absolutely amazing. Also, it is an awesome album. If you haven't listened to Tinashe's Songs for You, I really recommend it. 10 out of 10. I know it's weird to be recommending like a different artist when you're like, because it's a BTS podfic, but like, I'm assuming like if you're here, like, you know the BTS music, you don't need recommendations from that sphere. So to close, I just want to thank Anna Arctic Grey for being so supportive of this podfic. Like, you don't often get a lot of authors like retweeting or promoting the podfic, and it's just like, I really appreciate that. I think that through that, I would like, there's probably some listeners that came through from those promotional tweets. So, you know, thank you for being such a lovely person. Thank you for writing such an amazing fic, ruining us emotionally, educating us on Greta Garbo and Naomi Uemura. Like, I just love sometimes that when you read fan fiction and you just learn so much stuff because that is that particular author's wheelhouse and they're just like fascinated by stuff. And I'm like, man, this is great. Fandom is so good. Anyway, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Drop a kudos. I'd love it if you would let me know where you were, what you were doing when you were listening to this podfic, if you feel like you want to share that. And yeah, bye.